اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل وليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء، وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور، يا قدوس، يا نور، يا قدوس، يا نور، يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك أسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي وما مولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي في قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك، وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إلي في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي، يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي. يا إلهي وسيدي وربي، أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمت. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا، ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب. وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوه، يسير بقاؤه، قصير مدته. فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله؟ لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. يا سيدي، فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل، الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو، ولما منها أضج وأبكي؟ لأليم العذاب وشدته، أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك، وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك، وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك، فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك، فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار رجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته، وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته، وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك، ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك، ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك؟ يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قوي على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكيد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك وأعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا رب نصبت وجهي وإليك يا رب مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم الرأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. There's a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq salam Allah alayh in regards to a matter that is pertinent to us today. The hadith goes as follows, and I'm sure pretty much everybody has heard this hadith. A companion of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh by the name of Safwan al-Jammal. Safwan, the one whose business is related to camels. He owned camels and he would sell them, he would rent them. There's different usages and there's different benefits that a camel would have in those regions. One is to ride it, the other is for its flesh and other purposes, other usages as well. Safwan al-Jammal at one point rented a good number of camels to the Khalifa, the Abbasid Khalifa. The Abbasids were a people that were related to the Ahlul Bayt more than the Umayyads were, in that they were from Banu Hashim. They were descendants of Hashim, and so they were closer to the Ahlul Bayt in terms of lineage. Of course, that didn't cause them to be any nicer to the Ahlul Bayt. In fact, it's arguable that what they did was not only not less than what the Umayyads did, but it's arguable that it was more than what the Umayyads did. Anyhow, the first major ruler, ruthless ruler of the Abbasids, as Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. Safwan rented his camels to Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, la'natullah alayh. The Imam heard of this and spoke to him in regards to this, gave him a piece of advice. And this is important for us. What is that piece of advice? The Imam tells him, why did you rent these camels to Abu Ja'far al-Mansur? He says, it's not haram, he wanted it for Hajj. So the Imam says, yes, I know that. I know you didn't rent your camels for him to commit sins with them. However, do you like him to live long enough for him to come back, return your camels, and pay you? He said, yes. I said, well, see, you want this tyrant to live long enough, be it that it's only for a few months, but you want him to be in this world to have his position, to be able to give your camels back and to pay you back for the rent of these camels. I don't want to talk about any business or any involvement in the government or anything like that. That's not the pertinence or the relevance of this account that we have from the Ahlul Bayt. What is relevant to us is to understand that the way we feel, the way we think of tyrants must be the way they are. In other words, a tyrant should be seen as a tyrant. And the way we feel towards a tyrant should be the way we feel towards a tyrant. In other words, we recognize that tyrant, and tyrants are not good people. Tyrants are not okay people. Tyrants are not people that you just neglect. Tyrants are people that you hate. Look at the way they discuss and they mention Adolf Hitler. A German ruler, a German leader that led the German people to a lot of progress. They made a lot of progress, financial, military progress. They made a lot of progress in terms of the industries. In fact, it's arguable that the car industry that currently is seen in Germany is the result of, or is the continuation of what happened during the Second World War and perhaps the First World War as well. But what's more related to Adolf Hitler is the Second World War. So a lot of accomplishments, a lot of developments. But how does the Western world look at Adolf Hitler? I don't want to discuss whether that is accurate, it isn't accurate, should we feel towards him like that or should we not. But look at how the West discusses Adolf Hitler. Every time they want to show a disgusting figure, Adolf Hitler. Every time I want to show that a ruler is a bad person, they compare that person to Adolf Hitler. Hitler is a despised figure in the Western world right now. He's despised. Everybody hates him. Hates who he was, what he did, what he stood for, and so on and so forth. That's how you're supposed to see a tyrant. Nobody likes him. Okay? This is how we feel towards a tyrant. Now, this is a human teaching. This is something that human beings generally understand. When you see an oppressor, a tyrant, you're not going to like them. It's obvious they're a bad person. They're not a good person. They're taking the lives of innocent people. They're taking the resources of people and using it in ways that they want and not allowing the people themselves to have those resources available to them. These are not things that anyone's going to like. What tyrants do generally is to try to present a picture, an image of themselves that makes people like them, makes them admirable, makes them at least less disliked, less despised. Rulers generally don't like to be despised. Trump did his best to try to be seen as a good person. And of course, with all those choices that he made, that arrogant fool, all the wrong choices that he made, he destroyed every possibility of being seen in any good light, even right here in the United States of America, except for a few who are fooled by, I don't know how they're fooled, but they are fooled, it seems. I don't see any other reason why anyone would be behind Donald Trump, except that they're fooled one way or another, by his language or whatever. But everywhere in the world, everywhere, all people hate Donald Trump's guts. Okay. But he didn't want that. He wanted to be seen as the one who made America great again, here locally and internationally. The U.S. had a good image in many places in the world. They wanted that to be back and for the people of the world to have respect one way or another. So these are horrible figures. These are horrible establishments, horrible governments. But they disguise themselves. They present themselves in ways that people who don't know the reality of the situation could misidentify them, misunderstand who they are and consider them good or at least okay people. And that's going to affect the way people feel towards them. Let's not get lost in this discussion. We as believers, based on the hadith that we mentioned and other resources that we have, other references that we have in the Quran and hadith, we've got to make sure that the enemies of Allah, the enemies of humanity, the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel towards them as enemies. We see them, we recognize them as enemies. Our feelings, we're not talking about anything else at this point, at this moment. Our feelings should be that we despise them, we dislike them, we do not like them, we If that changes, if my feelings towards an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes to a feeling that is a favorable feeling, a pleasant feeling, I feel that they're at least okay, or perhaps they're even good. What's the result of that? The result of that is I will start deviating from the path. I will start deviating. The imams are a'immatul huda. They are the leaders of guidance. So every word they give us is guidance for us. If we go against that, we are misled. The imams say you need to make sure that you adjust your feelings towards tyrants in that way. Don't even... Now, Safwan al-Jamal did not have any doubt in his mind, did not have any issue understanding that Abu Ja'far al-Mansur is mal'oon, is horrible, is a bad person. The imam didn't want him to even like for him, just for him to get his money back or for his camels to be back with him and to get paid for Mansur to live long enough to do that. Okay, even that amount, that feeling, that thought, that want in him is bad for you. It's bad for him. He told him and it tells us it's bad for us. Now, how is this relevant? How is this pertinent? One of the unfortunate things we're seeing today is that a lot of Muslims are feeling good about Joe Biden being the president of the United States of America. They feel good about him. They feel good about Bernie Sanders. They feel good about certain other characters. They're happy. They're throwing parties, perhaps, some Muslimin. If not throwing parties, if not saying things, at least in their heart, in their minds, a lot of mu'minin, a lot of Muslimin, here and abroad, are happy that Joe Biden... Don't get me wrong, you should be very happy that Trump is... By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of the Almighty, and because of his outwardly arrogant approach towards things and his ugly behavior that was so outward and so in everyone's face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smeared his image, destroyed his image, squashed his image, rubbed that nose of his, as they say in some of the Eastern languages, or his face in dirt and in mud. Okay, that's what happened. Should I be happy about that? Absolutely. You have every right to be happy about him being gone in this way. But the notion that, oh, evil is gone, which suggests that now we have a good guy in. Evil has been defeated, and therefore we have good coming in. Anything along those lines is deviation from the path of Allah, deviation from the path of the Ahlul Bayt, deviation from the words of Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi, particularly this particular wording of Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. We should not feel good about Biden coming in. We should feel good that Trump is gone. Well, we're going to feel a lot better when this entire system of injustice that is disguised one day by a Republican face and disguised another day by a Democratic face or a Democrat. They're not Democratic, but a Democrat is a party. These are Democrats. It's not a democratic system in the literal sense of the word. It's a democracy as they have defined, not democracy in the literal sense of the word. And their definition is their power, their authority. So what we learn from Imam al-Sadiq is that our feelings are important. We have to be in control. We need to command our feelings. We need to take control of those feelings and make sure that we view and feel towards the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, the enemies of the Qur'an, the enemies of the Kaaba, the enemies of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, we should view them as such and feel towards them as such, the way they feel towards Adolf Hitler. This is how we should feel. Joe Biden is Hitler. The horrific deeds of Hitler, what were they? Aren't people unhappy with what Hitler did because of all the innocent killings? Well, Joe Biden has done that. He's done even worse. Arguably, what ISIS has done, very arguably, none of this was done in the Second World War by Adolf Hitler towards no one. Forget the Jews that are a minority of those affected by that war. The majority of those who were affected by that war were non-Jews. There were many Muslims, many Christians, and perhaps other religious backgrounds and non-religious people. A lot of people were affected. The Jews were a tiny minority, blowing them out of proportion and discussing the Holocaust was all a scam and a plot to try to use that for public opinion to justify the establishment of this Zionist regime called Israel, that they call Israel. Anyhow, let's not get sidetracked with the discussion of the Holocaust and so on. Those who were affected by the tyranny of all those involved, let me put this as well, let's be clear on this. Hitler was bad. Who says the Americans were good in the Second World War? Not only because of the two atomic bombs they dropped on Japan and killed innocent hundreds of thousands of Japanese innocent people, those who were not involved in the killing of anyone, just ordinary people living their lives. Not just because of that. All their killings, their involvement in the war was not to save lives, was not to protect people. The whole world was a dogfight between dogs or wolves that want to have a bigger portion of the world. That's what the Second World War was. The British weren't great in the Second World War. The French weren't good. These other countries that were involved, the Russians during the Second World War, they weren't good. None of the parties involved were good. They were all horrible governments fighting for global domination. After the Second World War was over, then the Cold War began because there are two powers and two cannot be. The one who has power cannot see another. It has to be only one. The U.S. fought the USSR to try to have global dominance, and they thought they got it. What these powers did towards one another, the behavior of ISIS is not comparable in many ways, in many ways. Who created ISIS? Who supported ISIS? Who trained ISIS? Who trained them to slit throat, cut heads the way they do? The United States of America. They have taken responsibility in a sense. They have mentioned this. A number of U.S. politicians have mentioned this on multiple occasions. Not only Donald Trump, which is the biggest liar, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe, but he did say it. But besides him, Obama himself said it. Hillary Clinton said it. John McCain said it. They weren't repeated. They weren't like some of the other things they put out on the media and they repeat 50 billion times so that you remember, you try to remember people that they've taught not to be sensitive towards news towards what's going on in the world, just to hear it, turn it on. It's another form of entertainment to discuss what the different opinions are, not to really understand what's happening, to take measures. But they have mentioned it. It's there. I have seen videos. I never met any of these people in person, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But we've seen videos. Every single one of the ones that we mentioned, they have mentioned it. And this is only their own mentions of their crime. The evidence of the Americans being involved with the creation, with the training, with the logistics for them, with arming them, with financial support, with media support, the Facebook, the Twitter that very easily shuts down the president, while he was president, of the United States of America. They easily shut down that account. They easily shut down accounts that put up Qasem Soleimani. They easily shut down accounts that put up material that they want. Yet, according to what they have repeatedly mentioned, it was through social media that ISIS was able to recruit so many people in the West and other places in the world. Who gave them access? Clearly, they could have. They didn't want to. They used that. They wanted it there. The evidence of the United States creating, supporting, supplying, training, giving them intelligence, helping them out when they're losing, it's overwhelming, overwhelming. Who was responsible for that? Joe Biden is the vice president of Obama, involved with every filthy, dirty crime that Obama was. And therefore, we have this guy coming in. Why should we feel towards Biden any less than how people are told to feel towards Hitler? The only difference is that Hitler didn't win the war to paint a great picture of himself. He lost that war. Therefore, he didn't have the media to back him up afterwards. He lost the war. And so the image was given to the masses globally of who he was and what he did and what his motives were, the way the winners, the victors of that war wanted. But the U.S. is still in power, so they give people the narrative. And that's the difference. And that's the problem. And that's why we need to say these things, because we forget, we neglect. And then there's a bandwagon. Everybody's happy because Trump has lost. Trump is no longer. We're not going to see and hear the nonsense 24/7 that we were hearing. And the happiness and joy of not seeing him is causing people to be happy about Joe Biden. No, don't mix those two up. If you're the Shia of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Shia of Fatima al-Zahra, the Shia of the Holy Prophet, the Shia of the Imam of our time, we have got to have our feelings under control, and our feelings towards Joe Biden should be at least our feelings are, and they tell us to be, towards Hitler and the likes of that, and whoever has done those things. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in these times, these fitan that we are tested. Many of us don't realize these are the tests that are going to make us be with the Imam or not be with the Imam. The one whose feelings at heart are not tuned correctly, are not tuned right, where they start liking the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, those who are fighting the Imam of our time right now on so many different fronts. If our feelings are not tuned right, then don't expect when the Imam of our time comes and we're going to suddenly start feeling bad about these people and feel great towards the Imam of our time. At the very least, we'll be confused, because we've allowed ourselves to see these people as good or as okay. So when there's a war that they have waged against the Imam of our time, they will. They will. If Joe Biden would be alive, which he won't, this old man is not going to survive. He's too old to survive. Some have even said he's not going to survive his own, even the first term. But if he would be, he would be the one leading Western powers to fight the Imam of our time. Clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Be careful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, assist us, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic. Help cure all those who are dealing with it, especially our dear sister Anna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has given her better conditions, he is healing her, and we are seeing that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten that, and that we see Sister Anna back with her family, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Imam of our time, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.